Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to the Living in Bosnia and Herzegovina podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Travel to Bosnia and Herzegovina podcast. The team behind this podcast is me, David, and my wife, Tamara. I'm originally from the UK and Tam is from the nearest city to us, which is Banja Luka, Bosnia's second city, situated in the north of the country. The aim of the podcast is to introduce you to this amazing country through interviews and stories that we hope you'll find interesting and exciting enough to want to come and visit. This country really is a hidden gem. So let's crack on. In today's episode, Tamara and I answer some of your many questions.
You're listening to the Living in Bosnia and Herzegovina podcast.
Hi and welcome along. Over the past, I don't know, few months, people have been leaving comments. You guys have been leaving comments, actually, on the Facebook group and also on the YouTube channel as well.
Yes.
So, Tam's been baking today and making, what sort of krumpir? Krumpir,
Richard? I'm making a meal from scratch, so I don't have to go to the shop.
So we've got potatoes and cabbage and
potatoes and kale and some bacon and eggs. And I make it like a pie, potato pie.
So it's not traditionally Bosnian, it's traditionally Tamara.
Yes, it's traditionally jambalaya pie.
Okay, listen, the weather's really good now, so hopefully we'll be travelling soon. And I've got a bit of a cough, but never
And mind. David's leg feels much better. Yeah. Yesterday he went and his stitches have been removed.
So
is that one of the questions?
No.
Okay. And and then he needs to wear a plaster? No, plaster.
Plaster for another 2 days.
Plaster for 2 days and then he's good to go.
I've got my stitches out. So
And he doesn't need any physical therapy because he's walking and he has the whole range of movements. Which is good because we don't want to be around the hospitals anymore.
No, I'm sick and tired of hospitals.
Due to COVID and we've been since July last year.
Okay, so this is a very quick video with seven. Why does everybody have to do five top things, 10 top things? We're going to do seven questions.
Because seven is my lucky number.
Yeah, okay,
and
right.
And my favourite
so,
number.
So, first of all...
Seven and number two.
I'm not going to give people's names, but we'll get there. First of all, are there many houses made of wood in Bosnia and Herzegovina? It seems that most houses are made of bricks. This is from Helger in Norway, so I'll give him his name. In Norway, 90% of the houses are made of wood. Houses are made of brick here, aren't they?
Yes, they're mainly made of the brick or those large cement blocks, like grey things.
Yeah, cement blocks.
And they used to be made out of the wood, but not anymore. There are some old houses in some villages, some old houses that were made of the wood, but they usually use now as a barns. And people don't make them usually. Made of wood. They maybe might make like a cottage, like
the one
we have near our neighbor.
Yeah.
So how would you explain those in English?
I don't know. They're more like weekend chalets.
Yes, they made like chalets, but we don't make houses out of the wood.
No, and people sink very deep foundations here because the ground does get particularly cold in winter, doesn't it? -25, -30.
So every house here has a big foundation. And how do you say the house that my brother used to have?
Oh, he had, you would call it a montage.
Yes. We
culture,
have,
which is a ready-made house. You know, like when you order, you just put the foundation down and they come along and they build it in a day.
Yes.
Germans call them Fertighäuser.
Fertighäuser. Okay, I think these houses now are more popular than...
traditional houses?
No, I mean, they're getting more popular. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, most probably because of that.
They're getting more popular and people, I think, getting... It's a quick and cheaper solution than to build a whole house with the bricks. And they're very doable. Like, they can last for 100 years or something.
And I don't think many people have companies, especially in the rural areas, to build. They build on it with themselves, don't they? And with friends and with experts.
Yes, everything here was built by my dad and his
friends. Yeah, everything you see on our videos, Tam's father, Predrag, made. Okay, next one. Is Herzegovina a separate geographical area within Bosnia and Herzegovina?
I think it is.
It is. There's Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Herzegovina, yes.
And that's like when we go to Montenegro, or when we go down to the southern part of the country, as we go through Gornji Vakuf and we go over that mountain, that's the start of Herzegovina, isn't it? So
yes.
Prozor is in northern Herzegovina, and Trebinje is in southern Herzegovina.
No, I think Herzegovina starts from Jablanica.
You think so?
Yes. Not from Prozor.
But it is a different
Prozor
area.
Prozor is not in Herzegovina.
And the area is most famous for its wine,
yes.
I would say.
Yes, because they have a nice climate and they have lots of wineries there. Lots of orchards. How do you say? Vineyards.
Vineyards, yeah. lots of fruit down there. And the people are a bit... I hope if anybody from Herzegovina or who has family in Herzegovina doesn't mind us saying it. They're all bandits, right?
No, they're not bandits.
Historical.
No.
But they're capable.
Capable, very capable.
Very, very capable people. So it is a separate area of the country. And this is about Banja Luka, your home city. What are the various cultures that made up in the past Banja Luka and the various cultures today? And second part of the question, what about the people living there? What are their occupations? Is it industry? Is it tourism, etc.? So, after the Second World War, or historically before the Second World War, I think there were lots of Muslim people in Banja Luka, yeah?
And we also had Jewish people.
Yeah, Jewish community, which
Jewish
is...
Jewish community.
We're going to be doing some information about that, but the Jewish community is really amazingly small now compared to what it was. But I think it was mainly Muslim,
yes,
right?
Mainly Muslim, yes.
After the Second World War, you were all communists.
Yes.
Even you?
Most of us.
Mali Pionera?
No, I was not.
but today I think you would say that the major... It's still a multicultural city. There are Serbs, there are Croats, there are Muslims, and there are minorities.
But
Romas and
majority
Jews.
Now are the Serbs, yes.
Majority of the Serbs today. So there has been a bit of a shift, but that's the way of life.
And we are not too big on tourism. I don't think we are.
Not at the moment.
No.
But there is... We've been watching a seminar at the moment, and the country is looking to get more tourism going. It's a beautiful country.
Yes, we used to have a big
people should come
factories back in the communism time that made TVs, that made, still we have Jelšingrad, made steel factory.
You were an industry city, really.
Yes, more like an industry city, not like a tourism city.
No. Not at all. But, yeah, and today I think it's more, I don't know, would you say...
Economical region, I would say.
Yeah, but it's not it's not heavy industry now. It's more no. IT, banking.
Yes, IT, banking.
Administration.
Food.
Yeah, stuff like that. This is one from close to home. How many dogs do you guys have?
How many dogs do we guys have? Do we have? Yeah. You guys, we. How many dogs? We have lots of animals. We have 3 dogs and we have 3 cats. And we decided in the future we're going to stick with 1 dog.
Yeah, because...
And 2 cats.
Yeah. So we have 3 dogs. We have the oldest dog is Linda.
Linda, yes.
And which
Linda
is from from your niece.
Yes. She was adopted from a shelter. And then she was living... She's my niece's dog, but they used to live in a house. And now they moved out to the flat, so they couldn't keep Linda, so we took Linda.
That's a few years ago, isn't it? 5 years ago.
5 years back ago, I think, something like that. And then we have a Postavsko-Istarski Gonič, which is Cooper. Cooper is a hunter's dog, and we got him by mistake, but we love him. He's been with us for 9
years. The story
was
that we were in this actual room, and
it's my mother's mistake.
And we heard some screeching.
Because I would never, ever have a hunting dog. It's so hard to train him, and they kill chickens, and they make lots of damage.
But
you still
the we heard this screech. We thought a dog was being abused, and we walked up the hill, and on the left we heard the noise, and he wasn't being abused. There was a whole pack of Gonič puppies who yes. were white, almost white in colour, and there was one who was of 2 colours. And that was the person...
He was the only one who was sticking out.
And making the noise.
His siblings.
And making the noise.
And the neighbor was raising them and giving them to other hunters. And when I saw him, I instantly fell in love. But I made a huge mistake because having a hunter's dog and you actually not being a hunter, it's hard thing to raise. Hard dog to raise. We had hard time.
A hard time with it.
Yes, very
but he's
stubborn.
Loving. We love
killing
him.
Killing chickens, doesn't like sheep, attacking everything that it's like not a dog or a cat.
But he's a sweet dog.
He's a sweet dog, yes. Now he's changed a lot and we train him.
We will never have a hunter dog again.
It took us a long time, no.
And then last year...
never say no.
a tiny dog came onto the property and just wanted to stay. And your
because
dad...
people have a... here people have this thing, they never nurture their... dogs, so they have small puppies and they just drop them here. And in the back of this this building, there is like a bus stop where the
kids go to school.
Where the kids go to school, and this is where they usually drop puppies. That's where they usually drop them. And then this puppy came and walked into our garden, and I thought she was really sweet, and I wanted to keep her. So that's how we kept her. And
we gave her name this tiny dog. Dog Phoebe. Who's called Phoebe, that you've most probably seen. Phoebe's not going to ever grow big. She's a real, real miniature dog.
Yes, she is. And she's food for miniaturist puppies.
And she... I don't think she's too much work.
No, she's not. She's very clever, but she's very... she can be... She's a little manipulator.
And she's very jealous.
She can get her way. Yes, and she's jealous. It always has to be her. Even one of the cats needs to pat her, needs to lick her, needs to clean her, otherwise she goes mad. So she likes being spoiled.
So
she likes to be number one.
So I suppose, to be honest...
So we have Linda. Linda is a Labrador. She's been adopted from the shelter. Then she moved to our house, from my niece to our house. Linda had really hard life, but now she's enjoying. She's almost 14. And then we have Cooper, and then we have Phoebe. And we have 3 cats as well.
Well, we're not talking about the cats today.
Cats have been adopted, 2 cats, and 1 cat is my dad's heel.
So I think we can best say, in a dysfunctional country, we're a dysfunctional family with dysfunctional pets.
Yes, we have 3 dogs, to end the question. And how many dogs do Trappist monks have? I was very surprised.
We're gonna do something about the Trappist monastery.
We went to visit the Trappist monastery, and in their garden they had like 7 dogs, which is good. Okay, next question.
All right, you're not gonna like this one.
Okay.
How did you guys meet?
How did we meet?
How did we meet?
We met at the party. I was drunk as a skunk. I'm just kidding.
Well, we met at a party.
Do it quickly.
We met at a party, but we didn't. Tam came up to say hello. But
I was listening to David's show.
I used to be a radio presenter on a radio station here. Anyway, so we had this gig, if you like. You came up to say hello, but I was busy at the time, so that was that. And then I felt rather guilty about being slightly arrogant. So I said, can we go for coffee? And the rest is history.
Yes. So David was a presenter on the EU for Oxygen, or S for then.
Radio station
for young people, and he had his show on Sundays, and I used to listen to his show
religiously,
and then I just decided to meet him. This guy has a nice voice.
Do I still have a nice voice?
And yes, you do. And the rest is historia. His story.
We could make a whole video about this, and we might one day, but it is personal, and
something needs to stay personal.
Yeah. So the next question is, what are the rules to visit Bosnia and Herzegovina at the moment? It's the 24th of February 2021 when this is being recorded.
So the rules, I think these are the rules. I haven't left Bosnia and Herzegovina for over a year now. But the rules is, if you are a foreigner and you want to visit Bosnia and Herzegovina, you need PCR test, not older than 48 hours. And I don't know what countries need visa, but most of the European countries do not need visa. You need a negative PCR test.
You need a negative PCR test. If you look online, you'll see the whole list of countries. But most people coming to this country, you get a 90-day visa.
Yes.
Anyway, 90 days in within any 180. But at the moment, you do need to have a negative PCR test issued within the last 48 hours to enter
the country.
Yeah.
And there is no problem. We don't have a lockdown here because we simply cannot afford it. Everything is working. Shorter hours, but everything is, we have no lockdown, so you can still do things here. You need to wear a mask inside the buildings, but outside, if it's not too many people, you don't have to wear a mask, so...
It's not as hard or
but
as harsh
as... But if you're planning to come to Bosnia and Herzegovina to get vaccine, you're not going to get one because we don't have them yet.
No, we're getting them.
We're getting them, yes.
And finally, what is... we both have our own answer on this. What is your favourite place in Bosnia and Herzegovina to visit?
My favorite place in Bosnia and Herzegovina
to visit?
That's a hard question. Everything is nice. To the places where I've been to, I really like Mostar. I love Mostar. Apart from my hometown, yes, of course. I will exclude my hometown, Banja Luka. Jajce, I love Jajce.
Yeah.
And I also like Krupa. Krupa, the little waterfalls. We go there really often because it's so near. But definitely two places to visit for me are Mostar and Jajce. That's where I've been and visited. I think Sutjeska would be something to see, but I never been there, so.
That's the Sutjeska. We were going to go to
Sutjeska National
Park.
We will plan to go this year or maybe next year.
We were going to go last year, but I broke my ankle. I think for me, I agree with you. I like Mostar.
I love Mostar. Like when I go to Mostar, sorry to interrupt, it feels like I'm in Jerusalem. There's something there, that stone, those old buildings, that gives me that kind of, I'm somewhere.
Oriental feel,
yes.
It's beautiful. I agree with you about Mostar. But just outside Mostar, there's Blagoje, which is very, very small, but amazingly interesting to see. And yeah, that stimulates the emotions. And I also like the very small village of Pocitel, which is also near Mostar. So Mostar Mostar is in Herzegovina, so I think Herzegovina is nice. The whole country is beautiful, but there is something special about Herzegovina. I don't know what it is. This
stone, this nature is amazing, truly amazing. So different. Very nice. For me it would be Mostar and Jajce. I don't know.
But we're going to be making a lot of content for 2021, which will be on the blog, on the Facebook group, and on YouTube and Instagram as well, from the north of the country. We're going to really laser focus on the north of the country, and hopefully encourage whoever's watching this, you, to want to come.
And also Jahorin is nice, the mountain.
Yeah, but I think Jahorin is the mountains outside Sarajevo, there are more... I think they are beautiful in the summer, but their pièce de résistance is the fact that that's where the skiing was in the Olympics.
It's
and they
really
got beautiful there in the winter.
Yes. And they also have a summer trail. Yeah. They have every year. some competition. And that's really nice. And you can do lots of hiking there in the summer. You don't have to, because I'm not into skiing, so I prefer to go in the spring or summer to do to do things in the mountains.
So that's our seven. That's the seven questions we got. I think we put an added one in there, and a few answers. If you do like the video and you're watching this on YouTube, just give us a thumbs up. If you want to subscribe, that'd be great. But thumbs up do make a lot of difference. If you are watching this anywhere else, please give us a comment. You'll also see a link to the blog.
You can ask us more questions and then we'll post another video later.
And if you want to find out all the good stuff, then you need to be on our newsletter, and the links are below wherever you see that.
A few of your questions answered there, and please do keep them coming, as we'll be making more Q&A podcasts in the future. We hope you like the podcast, and if so, it would be so cool if you could subscribe and leave a review. It really does mean a lot to us. Our contact info and related links are in the show notes. Until the next episode, from here in our studio near Laktaši in northern Bosnia and Herzegovina, please do stay safe in these ever-challenging times. And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.